listeners to Sounding Out's podcast series, an oral chronicle of sounding culture. Sounding Out remixes the everyday with theory, insight, and practice. To learn more, please visit us on the web at www.soundstudiesblog.com. Until then, stay tuned for today's episode.
Since writing the article Within a Grain of Sand for Sounding Out, I have been thinking a lot about location and how phonographic sound recording transcends location, picks up a sonic environment, and can send it anywhere. I'm part of an online group called Phonography. Quote, a group dedicated to the discussion of sound hunting, unquote. It's interesting the use of hunting in that statement. Recently in southern Portugal, I was in a rural tourism house with a lodge. It was most likely last decorated in the 50s to look like an Aspen-style ski lodge, out of place along the coast of Alentejo. It sported trophy heads of large game animals from all over the world. Only one, a wild boar, native to the region. The room was out of time and geography, and there was something magical in that dislocation. I get the same sense when someone on the phonography list shares a recording from their hometown in Australia, or their walk through Chernobyl, or attempts at recording Hurricane Irene in Canada. But natural disasters are for another article.
My name is Jen Boyd, and I've been working with sound for many years, but one of my earliest memories with sound would be in elementary school. I'd be waiting for the recess bell to go off, and I would run to the swing sets and put my ear up onto the swing set and listen to the sounds of the kids swinging back and forth. The sound of the creaking and the metal and the resonance was super amazing to me. So ever since then, I would put my ear up onto objects and listen to these microscopic sounds that would come from within. And, you know, my ear would kind of extract these sounds. And that's how I, you know, decided I wanted to record and listen to my environment more. That's how I fell into field recording. What do you do? I record the world around me, and then I arrange these sounds into soundscapes. The first part of the process for me would be gathering recordings, and there's not really, you know, any system to it. Some days I go on a deliberate excursion to find something new or sounds relating to an idea that I might have. Other times I'm home and I tinker with objects and microphones until I discover something compelling. You know, every now and then, it's just a matter of luck and being in the right place at the right time with my microphone on. It can be a time-consuming task, but it's very important to me that I gather the sounds myself. This way, when I create my piece, I have all of these other associations and memories of time and place that are part of my intuitive process. You know, I've always done it this way. I've recently learned that I'm synesthetic and that it plays a huge part in how I create. When I arrange a piece, it's like a storyboard. Each recording has a feel, a story, and a sound space within it. And to some extent, it's these characteristics that I work with when I compose. What can that say? Well, for me, I'm hoping that my art, my music, says to listeners, you know, take time to listen deliberately to things around you. There's a world of sound hidden in objects and permeating us, and to be open to what you hear. I hope my work can evoke wonder and inspire listeners to explore sound on their own. You know, when you're outside or taking a hike or walking down the street, to just kind of stop and listen to the environment that is around you at that time.
My name is Eric Leonardson. I'm an artist living in Chicago. I teach at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago. I'm a member of the World Forum for Acoustic Ecology, and I am a founder of the World Listening Project and a member of the World Forum for Acoustic Ecology. The World Listening Project maintains a website and online forum about its artistic and educational activities. These include public workshops, forums, and lectures, as well as participation in exhibitions, symposiums, and festivals. We started up in the Chicago area, where we formed the Midwest Society for Acoustic Ecology, a regional chapter of the American Society for Acoustic Ecology. You can visit our website at acousticecology.us. The first World Listening Day was co-organized by the World Listening Project and the Midwest Society for Acoustic Ecology. July 18th was chosen as the day for World Listening Day because it is the birthday of Canadian composer R. Murray Schafer, who established the World Soundscape Project in the late 60s at Simon Fraser University. Schafer's 1977 book, The Soundscape, Our Sonic Environment and the Tuning of the World, was a culminating publication about the research of the World Soundscape Project that provided new terms and fundamental ideas for the interdisciplinary field known as acoustic ecology. Our website is at www.worldlisteningproject.org. Participation can be as simple and private as you want, or as complex and as public as you can manage. what we are listening to are sounds recorded and uploaded to the apparae.org's World Listening Day 2010 map. These were the sounds that were collected and uploaded on the first World Listening Day on July 18th, 2010. Among the sounds are ones from Harold Schellings, recorded in Paris, Joe Stevens, recorded at Tollpuddle Village in Dorset, UK, Anton Mauban, recorded in Paris, Allison from Beaver Pond, Kanata, Ontario, Canada, Aidan Deary in Pechacek Shantytown in Peru, with sounds of the early morning ambience, and sounds from me, recorded in Chicago. What are we listening for? A sense of place? Knowledge? Pleasure? Trouble? We're listening for signals, sound marks, near and distant relations. What's on the horizon? Voices of people and animals all around us. We're listening for what's coming and going, the way architecture changes what we think and what we feel, the weather, movement and its absence, the stillness. And obviously, we're listening for what we can't see. What can that say? Hearing tells us where to look. Wherever we are, every place on the planet has its own soundscape. From moment to moment, the soundscape is always changing, often unpredictably. Depending on the time scale, dynamics, and frequency range, we can choose what to focus our attention on. The World Listening Project suggests that listening is active, not passive. That listening means paying attention to the world. And when we do that, we can begin to change it in a conscious way. Bernie Krause has been a supporter of the World Listening Project. He's active in the field of soundscape ecology, and this is what he says. Western society bases most of what it knows on the visual. We actually hear what we see. The World Listening Project aims to transform that perception in our otherwise urban-centric and abstracted lives. At a time when we are facing not only a silent spring, but a silent summer, fall, and winter as well, it is clear that where a picture is worth a thousand words, a soundscape may soon be worth a thousand pictures. Some of the sounds that you are listening to were recorded during a sound walk at Miller Woods at the Indiana Dunes National Lakeshore by Greg Odrobinak.
What do you do? I do sound tourism. By sound tourism, I mean walking around the city, and instead of focusing on the visual element, I focus on the sound character of a city. So I try to guide myself based on the sounds I hear, and to make the decisions of where to go, of the paths I take, where should I turn, where should I stop, how much I should linger in one place. All of those decisions that usually a tourist makes based on what he or she is seeing, I do the same but based on sound. So my initial interest is basically just that, purely be guided by the sound. I do this usually with a pair of binaural microphones. So this kind of microphones allows me to record the sound exactly as I'm hearing. So there is no complicated technical apparatus involved. I just put the binaural microphones with a couple of earpieces. So basically, I'm walking around in city using a pair of headphones, which are actually microphones. So from that perspective, that gives me freedom to walk and do everything a tourist would do with no complicated technical recording gear or holding microphones. So, and the idea is basically to walk around, not purely randomly, because I select some routes based on what a tourist will normally do in a city, so going to the places or the neighborhoods where tourists hang out or usually visit. So I do exactly as a tourist do. And then what I try to do is to take notes, sometimes just mental notes, sometimes in between each recording section I try to write down a set of impressions or a set of things that got my attention, or try to describe the character of the sounds I hear. So I collect a lot of written documentation of my impressions while I'm walking and recording. And then I use those to help me to create the final product. And the final product is usually, in the recent versions I did, is a sound installation. So I will create a sound installation using a certain configuration that for me seems to be adequate to the CD and to the sound. the whole title of my project, Sightseeing for the Blind, actually it's kind of a pun or a joke or an ironic name, in the sense that sightseeing seems to kind of include the idea of seeing twice in that name, in the same name, so that the focus is always seeing, looking at something, going to some place and looking around, taking pictures. So the sight element is the most common. So I try to claim sound as an element that actually people or tourists have in consideration, but maybe they do that in an almost unconscious way, meaning that sound is so intimate and so deep and so immersive that it actually kind of people feel it and maybe even take decisions based on it, but actually they don't think so much about it. So it's a much more immediate, purely sensorial, immersive reality. There it's not so much analyzed. That's what I do.
We use our sense of hearing to locate us in space, to understand its dimensions and what sorts of properties they hold, to know if there is a threat, and if so, how threatening, to know if there are others like us around, to know if they are kind and welcoming. and Jen Boyd sent me her binaural recording of Under the Golden Gate Bridge, I again thought about location. The 25 de Abreu Bridge in Lisbon looks just like the Golden Gate. Every American that comes here comments upon it. My first year here, I had a list of things I would do if I felt homesick for the States. Viewing the bridge was one of them. I would shut off my peripheral vision to take in only the structure and transplant myself to San Francisco. When listening to Jen Boyd's recording, I wondered if they sounded the same. Roughly the same size and shape, but were they built of the same materials? Built to hold the same amount of traffic? The 25 de Abreu Bridge allows for a train, which is a big part of its soundscape. How far from the water are their midpoints? How far from the shores, and what are those shores composed of, both natural and man-made? All of these questions would affect the sound of the bridge, so I decided to make a recording